Shire is a leading global specialty biopharmaceutical company with a focus on helping people with life-altering conditions to lead better lives. While Shire's portfolio of ADHD medicines helps patients diagnosed with ADHD, we recognize the need to provide additional support to them and their families. And that's why we at Shire value our local, regional, and international partnerships that are designed to develop and enhance programs to improve the understanding and awareness of ADHD. At Shire, people diagnosed with ADHD have our full attention. To learn more about Shire, visit www.shire.com.
To Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We got Alexis Hernandez in the house tonight in our virtual studio, and we're going to be talking about himself, his ADD story, and his appearance on the Food Network program. Before we get into some of that stuff, I want to just date stamp the show. Today is December the 7th in the year 2011 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper. Before we actually even get into announcements, I want to do a big shout-out to Melissa. Melissa follows us on Twitter and is, as I understand, a regular listener to the show. And the inspiration for the show tonight actually came from her several weeks ago when she sent me a direct message on Twitter and suggested that we contact Alexis and have him on. And we are thrilled that you reached out to us, and we are thrilled to actually have him on. A reminder to everybody out there, we have our Facebook page at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio. Know that you do not need to be a Facebook person to be able to go to that page. You can just dial up on your browser. You can see all the schedule of our upcoming shows. You can access archive shows. You can listen to the show live. And we're experimenting with some raffles, and there'll be some contests that you can enter. As a matter of fact, Michael out in the Pacific Northwest won our last raffle last month for an iTunes gift card. So kind of excited about that. So, again, that's facebook.com/attentiontalkradio. But You guys dialed in tonight because you didn't want to hear me talk about announcements. You wanted to hear about our guest tonight. Alexis, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
I'm spectacular. I got so many questions tonight. Of one of them is the Ted Nugent pictures on your website, but I'll come back to that later. You grew up. In an environment with Latino flavors and a love affair with food, and I understand your family was really into food. You end up going to college. You got your BA in theology. Went on. You were in corporate America for a little bit, and then all of a sudden your passion for cooking kind of kicked in, and off you went to culinary school at the National Center of Hospitality Studies. Can you tell us a little bit about your background, your culinary background, a little bit about your interests and kind of how you kind of got into this particular field?
Well, like you mentioned, my family has always been a food family. I grew up eating a lot of Latino food, in particular a lot of Cuban cuisine. And as I got older, I became very interested in just the simple process of food and, you know, why things do the things that they do in the kitchen. When I was in corporate America, I had the opportunity to move to our family farm. And while I was there, I had left my corporate job, and I decided that once for all I was going to try and pursue food and take some time to do something that I've always wanted to do, was to study food and the science of it. And so that's when I went to the campus in Louisville, Kentucky, and I kind of, you know, goes on from there.
Now, so you had the background, you had the opportunity, you went there. Talk to us a little bit about this. When you say the science of food, what do you mean?
Well, I'm not talking about, like, getting nitrogen and freezing things, but just the basic knowledge of food that I think all mothers and in the 1950s had, but they may have not had them categorized in nice little compartments. you know, what happens when you add an acid to a liquid, meaning, for example, if you're going to poach an egg, usually the recipe always calls for some type of, you know, acid, lemon juice, lime juice, vinegar, balsamic vinegar. And so why is it that that happens? And I was just always very fascinated. So that's what I mean by the science of food. It's not anything crazy. It's just the regular things of what happens when you put a piece of meat and why it gets brown and, you know, how can you suspend or control the viscosity of water inside like a flan or something like that, mm-hmm. or Jell-O or something like that.
Well, what's interesting to me is that, as you describe that thing, it's really it's the chemistry of food, isn't it?
Yes, it is the chemistry of food, also.
And that's a lot deeper than what I mean. I know a lot of people who cook and they just like, you know, I'm just going to throw it. I'm going to sear it and brown it. They don't necessarily know why. They just accept that it does. But you took it to a whole other level to understand exactly what's really, really going on, to understand the basis of how this is all put together. I presume you could come up with a recipe, just make it up off the fly, as opposed to other people who actually need a book to tell them what to do.
Yeah, when I was at the university or the National Center for Hospitality Studies in Louisville, Kentucky, there were some master chefs, and no, they're not the master chefs that are on, you know, TV or on Fox. They're chefs that have master techniques, and they go through these very lengthy and laborious, tests to become a master chef. So while I was there, I was able to ask all my questions that I had before I went to culinary school in a haphazard manner. But then also while I was studying, I was able to go in and kind of really be intrigued with, wow, you know, there's enzymes inside things that have a lot of umamis. Things that have umami are things that have like soy sauce or Parmesan, and being able to see, oh, so that's why a soup tastes better the second day, because the amino acids reproduce the flavor profiles thousands and thousands of times. And so that was very satisfying to me. Now I understood why. Oh, so that's why an onion soup tastes better, or that's why a stew tastes better the next day. And so things just started unraveling for me while I was at that school. And I was, you know, blessed enough to have all these wonderful master chefs who were just very grateful that they had a student that just wanted to, you know, learn.
Uh-huh. And that's what's got me really curious, because I want to kind of tee this up for everybody about your passion on this, because I want to talk about your kind of ADD story in a little bit, but I want to kind of focus on what really fueled your curiosity. And maybe you've never even been asked that question, but so many people look at cooking, but when you're talking about amino acids and enzymes and stuff like that, I mean, you take it down to another level. Do you know really what was really fueling that curiosity and what really drove you?
Yes, when I left and I got my bachelor's degree in theology, I got my own apartment. And so when you get your own apartment and you're in your 20s, you sort of want to feel like you're an adult. You want to entertain. And so that was a catalyst. You know, what can I make? You know, mm-hmm. I don't really have a lot of money. What can I make that's inexpensive, or mm-hmm. what can I make that's, you know, healthy or low fat or whatever it would be? You know, how can I make these, you know, $20 that I have for the entire weekend feed me, you know, four or five other of my friends, mm-hmm. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday? And so that's where it kind of fueled, is the love of entertaining. You know, I loved going to thrift stores, and instead of paying $50 for a casserole dish, well, I can pay $2 for a casserole dish that has this wonderful history that if it could probably speak, it would tell us about wonderful Thanksgivings and Mother's Days and, you know, Christmases and Easters and whatever holiday, 4th of July's, and say, you know, there was a casserole dish with, you know, green beans that I, you know, mm-hmm. Was a receptacle for. And so I think the love of entertaining, which comes from also from my family, kind of fueled that. And, you know, you can't entertain without having food. They kind of go hand in hand. So...
this is kind of interesting to me, is that the love of entertaining and all this kind of is doing this. And I guess one of the things I'm trying to illustrate is the level of passion and the level of intensity and the depth of what you're paying attention to in terms of this stuff. It's fascinating. And as an aside, I'll tell you, I was very anxious to have you on the show because myself, I love to cook. And one of my favorite shows and my favorite cookbooks of all time was Alton Brown's I'm Just Here for the Food. And the book is like, it's on nothing but what water, salt, and here's what searing is, here's what braising is. It really just defined all that stuff, and it was fascinating to me because I really finally understood what the fundamental differences of all that stuff was. And it was a revelation for me because once I understood how it all worked, I could kind of mix and match and kind of play with some stuff and know that it was going to work out just based off of how it kind of comes together. And I'm hearing, I have that passion, but you're at a whole nother level understanding how, I can't even articulate, the enzymes affect soup the next day. And it's just interesting to me how you have that passion, that flair, and that thirst. And earlier, before we got onto the show, we were talking about this, the experience in culinary school, and what I heard you say is that you were like a glue next to these master chefs, just quizzing them every chance you could get to absorb everything you could.
Yes, I think when you find something that you love, regardless of what it is, I think that kind of keeps your attention. And I've noticed that in my life, things that I'm not so interested in.
Uh-huh.
And I think for everybody, whether you have ADD or not, if you're not interested in something, you're really not going to really pay that much attention. But I learned very early on that my mother would always have me do things that I really liked. In particular, for our family, it was the whole thing around food. And I think it is interesting that in my own personal experience, in its most embryonic form, when I really like doing something, for example, entertaining or thinking about a menu, I really do pay attention because I like it. And so I sort of learned, I became very self-aware, started doing yoga early on in my 20s. And when you do yoga, you do repetitive movements over and over and over. And you kind of have to be still and kind of you get that mind and body connection, which I think for me as a person who, has ADD is something that's difficult for me to be able to learn. But I think with me coaching myself and being around other people that have given me advice, who are people who have been further along who have ADD, I've learned to use the me liking something, like cooking, and realizing, okay, how am I keeping my attention here?
Yep.
I mean, how am I keeping out the rest of the world and really focusing? And then using the whole yoga thing where I'm in my space and this is how I'm paying attention. And so I think with the cooking thing, I think everybody, it's important for somebody or anybody to find what they really like and then learn from it. You know, how did I not, pay attention to the fact that the garbage truck was coming by and I went out to the window? But the fact that I really enjoy what I'm doing and I don't really care about the garbage truck or whatever sounds going on outside because I'm paying attention to this thing that I love and then learning from that and then applying it to, other areas in your life. And so that's where I think the yoga came in of trying to be one with your mind and then your body and feeling that connection and being like, okay, well, that's good. So
I can't help but interject here. For our listeners out there who are interested in what he's saying, back in September of this year, we had Greg Kirch on talking about attention exercises. It was a meditation thing, and if you're interested in what Alexis is talking about, I encourage you to kind of listen to the show because we go a little bit more in depth and noticing your thoughts and kind of being able to manage those, particularly as it relates to ADD. Alexis, before we go to the break and we come back, I want to kind of get more in your ADD story. But before we do, I know I know you're curious, but you probably had to do a lot of work in culinary school. Once you got out and you started to kind of get it a little bit, did it come easy for you?
It did come easy for me because it was something that I liked doing. It was something that was sort of like an appendage, a right hand or a left hand or an eye. I just I loved it. So it was easier. The process of learning the concepts was very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But I needed to realize I'm not going to feel bad about myself. So what? I need to study for 20 hours for a 20-question quiz test, which somebody else, and I'm not going to say the average person, somebody else has to maybe study for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I studied that 20 hours because then when I got my degree, it made it all that more worthwhile and more tasty.
And I gotta tell you, I'm not so sure, I hope I did my research right, but you went to culinary school, and then you went in the competition for the Next Food Network Star. That was within 2 years, and you beat out thousands of people. So once you kind of turned that corner and kind of got it, my sense is a lot of stuff came easy for you.
Yes, a lot of things after going through the struggle of learning, because that's my own personal struggle, is the learning. Yes, once I kind of applied myself and was on Food Network Star, a lot of the other things were a lot much easier. But yes, that's correct.
And you know, it's kind of funny. I was a swimmer in college. I competed on an international level a period of time, and I always looked up, and I wasn't getting first. And my father chewed me out one time and said, "You're at that really high level. Just because there's a few people ahead of you, you got to look behind you and how well you're doing." And I think you did spectacular in such a short period of time with that education. I mean, within 2 years, boom, you're like kind of right there. And I realized that the learning was probably difficulty, but you know, just in my research, it just seems like it kind of turned the corner and stuff was there. So. I'd like to come back after the break and talk a little bit about your ADHD background stuff. But before we do, for those that want to learn more about Lexis or check some things out, his website is chefalexhernandez.com, which is chefalexhernandez. And with that, we'll be right back.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
ADHD, is it real? How is it diagnosed? How do I know if I have it or if my children have it? Do you outgrow it? You have questions and we have answers. We're CHAD, a national organization made up of professionals, parents, educators, and of course, those with ADHD. So if you want real answers to your questions, join CHAD at www.chadd.org or call us at 800-233-4050.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
I'm Jeff Copper, host of Attention Talk Radio, here to talk to you about CopyTalk.com, a voice dictation service. This is not just some voice dictation software. It's a real dictation service by people who type whatever you want. When I need to document something, all I do is hit speed dial on my cell or work phone and start speaking. The folks at CopyTalk will type it up and email it back to me that day. The best part is I can dictate as many 4-minute messages as I want, all for one flat monthly fee. Go to copytalk.com/ATR, enter Jeff Copper as the referrer's name, and sign up for the free trial account today. If you tell them I sent you, then you'll get $20 off the monthly subscription for as long as you keep the service.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
This is your ADHD information station. Attention Talk Radio. You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We've got Alexis Hernandez in our virtual studios. Before the break, we were learning a little bit about his culinary background, working on a farm, going to culinary school, the amount of effort he put into learning what was going on, and really kind of his passion. And Alexis, I'd like to kind of turn a little bit right now, and can you kind of, I guess, share with our listeners kind of your ADD story?
Sure. When I was in high school, I didn't know that there was a name for, you know, what I was struggling with. I just knew that it was very difficult for me to retain information, not want to, like, blurt out answers in class. You know, when somebody was speaking with me, for me to wait for them to say what they wanted to say and then respond and say what I wanted to say. All I knew is that my mother would say things to me like, "Alexi, you you can't interrupt people when they're talking. You need to wait till they're done and realize that at the moment when you think you're going to say something that's going to change the world, I love you, but most likely whatever you're going to say in that conversation is not going to change the world, and it's not going to really change the situation. So it's okay if you forget what you were going to say, but then go with the moment of whatever that person was saying. So I sort of felt like I had my own ADHD coach in my mother, for being, you know, an immigrant from Cuba, not knowing, but just from love, trying to coach me in different ways. As I got older, I realized that I was very creative, and I was able to, as far as entertaining, being able to design like a great room. I did a lot of work in at a fine art gallery called Mario Villa in Chicago, and I was able. I realized, wow, I'm really creative. How come I never really knew this? And so I started really focusing on the things that I was, you know, good at. And I thought, wow, I'm really innately good at, like, getting this room or getting this space and putting this here and this there and realizing, without really knowing, like, that there was relationships between different objects. And so, you know, I went on. And when I got into corporate America, I realized it got more difficult. The game was a lot more complicated because now I was struggling with being forgetful. And even though I had learned some things from what my mom was coaching me on as far as not interrupting people, listen to what they're saying, try to focus, I still had some struggles. So that's when I started reading a lot of leadership books, Good to Great by Tim Collins, and I started realizing, okay, so I need to give a little bit of my power away. So that I had as an executive. So I had a wonderful executive assistant, and I basically thought, well, I'm not really good at this, so since I have the opportunity to give this power away, and I trust this person, I'm going to give this power to my administrative assistant, meaning she would organize my day, and she would be the one that would set all my appointments. So if, for example, Jeff, you said to me in a meeting, hey, I'd really like to talk to you about, you know, what you're doing in your market and how you're getting all the sales that you're getting, because I was wildly successful while I was in corporate America, I wouldn't say, oh, okay, yeah, let's meet. I would say, okay, you need to call so-and-so, my administrative assistant, and if she says that there's time there for that particular day, then I will do what she says. But I would get up in the morning, she would go into my Outlook calendar, and she would put all my stuff in there, and I would stick to that particular calendar. So I experienced a lot of success as it relates to realizing I'm really not good at this, and that's okay, because not everybody is good at everything. So I am not going to feel bad about not being good at, you know, certain, you know, things. So I learned the whole thing about realizing I'm really not good at this. If I really needed to be more organized, then I can put some you know, kind of barriers that would kind of guide me along. But since I was offered an administrative assistant, I'm going to use it, and that's okay. That doesn't make me any less of a business person. When I got older and I got into relationships, I realized that it was a lot different because, you know, I wasn't in the office. I was at home, and so a lot of my emotions would try to take over me. So it goes back to what my mother was saying about, you can't really just blurt out whatever you want. So it became increasingly more difficult when I came to the point where I was diagnosed with ADD very late in life, recently, just in the last 4 years. So my spouse would send me, say, hey, you know, can you – I need to get XYZ from, you know, the local hardware store. Can you go get it? And I would go and bring everything but the item that I was asked to bring. And I really felt that's the first time in my life that I felt like bad about myself, and my mother had instilled a very good self-concept, like nobody's better than you, but you're not better than anybody else.
Wow.
And she would say, nobody's better than you, and you're not better than anybody else. And I remember myself saying, you know, I think you have a problem, and it's really causing difficulty between us in communication, and you need to go and find out what's going on. So I went to, I went online, I checked, and I thought, well, I most likely do have ADD, but I never really felt like a victim about thinking that I might have had it. So I went to the doctor, I went to a therapist, and you know, after many sessions, they said, you know, yeah, you do have this attention deficit disorder. And I thought, okay, well, I thought to me that it was like having a special power, like a superhero, because to me, when I was at corporate America and people would be talking around the table about how to come up with a solution, I would get bored. But you know why I would get bored, Jeff? Because I already had, in my brilliant mind, had already come up with all the different scenarios without me even trying. Without me even trying, so I got bored. So then I would read things.
You're just waiting for everyone else to catch up to you, huh?
Yes, I was waiting for everybody to catch up, and I thought, well, in the online, everything says that, oh, they can't pay attention, and they become disinterested. Maybe I don't become disinterested. Maybe I'm a brilliant person, and I have a gift.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's the fact that with every gift, there's used that gift used out of its design becomes a liability. Why is it that a person that's very organized and very detailed oriented, that's all great for an interview, but I'm sorry, that's called also when used out of its original design that it was intended for, it becomes a obsessive compulsive.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yeah, you're great and you get things done and da-da-da, but you also have difficulty making decisions because you want everything to be perfect, and everything
yep.
can't be perfect because
yep.
nothing in the world is perfect.
Yep.
You know, and so I realized very early on that I needed to not put down my coworkers by acting disinterested. I realized, okay, I'm kind of getting bored. I'm getting bored. Okay, I need to act interested because they need to catch up to my brilliance, and they need to realize that I already, in my mind, without me trying, my mind had already gone on through every single scenario, and these are the four possible scenarios. But that's the mind going fast. There's the downside
uh-huh.
of it.
Yep.
You know, somebody sings a song to me at 11 o'clock at night, and I can't get it out of my head.
Yep.
So there's a positive to every strength, and every strength used out of its original design or becomes, you know, a liability. And so I started realizing I'm not going to feel bad about having ADD. I don't see people that have diabetes feeling bad about that they have diabetes or that they have high blood pressure. They
mm-hmm.
basically realize, okay, I need to stay away from salt if I have high blood pressure. If I have diabetes, I really can't be having sweets, so you stay away from sweets. So
yep.
I started understanding, okay, well, I have ADD. There are certain things that culturally they say here, and professionals and doctors say that I should stay away from. So I began designing my life with purpose, saying I'm going to stay away from sugar. I'm going to start eating a lot more fish because fish has a lot of essential
yep.
fatty acids.
Yep.
I started eating more nuts. I started taking multivitamin. I started eating more proteins, and proteins was great for me because I'm Latino. We love beans. So that went well. I started eating more vegetables and fruits than I did before. I started watching my salt. I tried to stay away from sugar because it really steals all your energy. I mean, you feel great when you're having that nice cupcake, but,
yep.
you know, at that nice 4th of July. But there's always a reason to do something you shouldn't. There's always a
yep.
birthday. There's always a wedding. There's always a holiday. There's always Thanksgiving. There's always Christmas. There's always, you know, Valentine's Day. So I realized that all those things didn't really matter. And what mattered was me making sure that if I did have diabetes or I did have high blood pressure, that I do the right things. Well, you know, I have ADD. It's to me, I feel that it enhances me. I'm not going to go, oh, you're so unfocused. Maybe I'm excited. Maybe I'm very passionate about a lot of things. And to every positive thing, there's a downside to it. So I decided with purpose, I'm not going to feel bad that I have ADD. I'm going to figure out how I need to do to be successful. What that means is if My counterpart can study an hour to get an A. I have to study 20 hours. Guess what? I'm going to study 20 hours, and I'm going to beat you. And then after I beat you and I get that grade, it's going to be all that more fulfilling and more tasty to me.
Alex, can I interrupt you for a second? Can you go over tonight? Can we go for 15 minutes longer?
Oh, sure.
Okay. I want to pause here because I just witnessed the most amazing thing, and I'm just going to – your mother must have been the most incredible person because in the last – telling your story, the cadence of your voice picked up, the energy, the excitement, and to a certain extent, what I was – it was like the confidence. I was like, it's just so inspiring to hear you openly talk about this that what's amazing to me is there's a few things I just really kind of want to draw out other than your excitement and confidence is that before the break, we were talking about your passion and food and all that kind of stuff, and you clearly can pay attention to some of that stuff. And I hate the label of attention deficit disorder because I don't think that there's a attention deficit because even a second ago somewhere in that, you can focus on what your passion and you're just so entrenched on this and you're just – moving.
Yes, maybe I'm more advanced.
And you were talking
maybe I'm
about,
more advanced.
You're talking about how creative you are, and I have my own thoughts on this. And that is when you hear relationships, there's relationships when you're eating. Like I got to tell you, I love food. And when you have mustard and Chardonnay, or blue cheese and champagne, or those combinations. And then those are the other things like hot and sweet that contrast each other. I mean, those are relationships. And your ability to look in a room and see the relationships to arrange those, I can see how that relates to food, not only just the taste it offers, but how it's presented and all that kind of stuff. And that's great. But then what you turned and you said, you didn't say I'm brilliant at that, but you turned and said, hey, listen, I'm relying on – they gave me administrative help, so I lean on here. Take care of this for me. And you were so openly accepting on this. And notice how I'm getting excited, and my cadence is kind of going up because this is just so inspirational. Such an inspirational story. It's kind of come together. And I'm going to have to break for a second. I want to come back because I really want to talk about – I want to celebrate your experience in the competition and the success you had. But what I really – want a message to everybody, or what I think one of the reasons I wanted to have you on is that if you have ADD, it's all about your passion and interest, number one. Number two is you can pay attention to things if you're interested. You might have to work a little harder to kind of get over the hump, but there's some success at the other side. You shouldn't necessarily be discouraged. And again, if you, Alexis, I mean, did you notice how your cadence went up and how excited you got?
Well, I my forehead is a little shiny from the sweat because I did get a little passionate about my mother and my father who have taught me nobody's, better than you and you're no better than anybody else. And if you have to work 20 hours extra, then you do it because it's going to be more satisfying. At the time, I thought they were like, oh, whatever, mom and dad, I don't know what you're talking about. But I see now as an adult and parents that are listening that think that their words are falling on deaf ears, they're not. Because those words will enhance and encourage and kind of lift up that child that's has ADD, and the ADD is brilliant, and it's brilliant for every person in a different way, and that's why I think I don't view it as this Achilles heel. I view it as my brain works really fast for me. It works really fast. Sometimes somebody's talking and I'm bored. It's not that what they're saying is boring. It's just that I already went through what you said. My brilliant brain went through all these scenarios, and I know what the answer is. I know what you're going to say. But I do need to be kind to the person and listen fully and respond and be in the moment. And then, if I choose to say what I really want to say, then I say it. But
excellent.
Yes, I agree with what you're saying.
Excellent. I love this. By the way, I'll thank you again at the end of the show, but I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on. But we do need to go to a break. And again, for our listeners out there to learn more, or if you need to contact Alexis, you go to chefalexishernandez.com. That's chefalexishernandez.com. And with that, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention@attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm so excited, I'm tongue-tied, I can't even talk. We got Lexis Hernandez in the house. We're talking, at the top of the show, we were talking about a little bit about his background, his interest in culinary arts, some of his history. And the last segment, we talked a little bit about his ADHD story. Was fascinating to me about his passion. It's very, very, very inspirational. And what I really kind of I'm interested in now is I'm just to really kind of celebrate Alexis. You have this background. You have this interest in food and entertaining. You go to culinary school. You absorb all this stuff, and then all of a sudden you're in a competition with thousands of people to try to basically become a star, and you perform well, and all of a sudden you're on a stage. Tell us about that experience.
Well, Food Network has been part of my repertoire since it came on. But really the stars on the show are really never explained, you know, this is the reason why we're going to do this. You're just going to put the steak and sear it for 2 minutes. That'll seal in the juices. But why does it seal the juices? So for me, even when Food Network initially was in its, you know, baby infant stage, it was satisfying because it kind of showed me how to entertain my friends in my early mid 20s, but it didn't really answer a lot of my questions. So when the first Food Network star, looking for the first Food Network star came out, I watched it. I thought, wow, this is really great. So then it became, I finished culinary school, and I thought, you know, my sister was like, you should apply because your food is wonderful. And I know you're going to say, everybody's going to tell their brother or sister that their food is wonderful. And, you know, but I think your food is wonderful. And I said, I know, but I just, you know, I don't think I'm that good. So it took my sister to constantly believe in me when I didn't believe in myself. And I think that's what's great about family, mothers and fathers and sisters and close friends, that sometimes when you don't believe in yourself, hopefully they believe in you so that you can use them as a stepping stone, and then hopefully you believe in yourself. So I applied. I sent in my video, and I didn't get a response. I didn't even get any flowers. I didn't get a box of chocolates. And I thought, okay, well, you know, how horrible, like not to even get any feedback. The second year I went in, I applied again, and I sent my video, and you know, I was very excited, thinking this video is great. It shows my personality, and I really have a lot of personality, I think. And nothing. I didn't even get a box of chocolates, flowers, or a telegram. So then the third year, I thought, you know what? I'm going to punish you, Food Network. I'm going to punish you. I'm not even going to apply. But they didn't really realize I didn't apply, so my plan didn't really work. Then I was kind of over it. I thought, you know, I'm just going to do my catering, and I'm going to do my private chef thing and do all that stuff. And I thought, you know what? They're going to be in Chicago. I'm in Indiana at a farm right now. I used to live in Chicago. I'm going to save my money, and I'm going to, with purpose, I'm going to go to Chicago, and they're going to have to reject me to my face. And I'm going to go in there, and they're going to reject me. And so I went in. I you know, signed in. I sat in the room for like 4 hours. There were like, it was just very full. It was a large ballroom full of these hopefuls. And I went in, and I remember they told us, okay, you know, you're going to be, your name is going to be called. You're going to go into that room, and then they're going to be asking you several questions. They're going to be asking everybody the same questions. You know, they may tell you, okay, we got everything that we have, and that's okay. And then they'll call you back. So they called my name. I went in, and I remember them asking me, so, you know, what are you into right now? And I said, I'm into brazing. I'm very interested in how meat coagulates and, you know, how do you keep the enzymes alive on a piece of meat? And so I am tired of people saying it's 350. My professors and my culinary instructors at my Louisville school told me 275. That gives enough time for the enzymes to still be alive, kind of moisten and kind of make the meat soft. And I'm just tired of this, like, horrible lie going around that if you're going to braise something, it's 350.
Yep.
And she laughed, and I said a couple of other crazy things, kind of showing my personality. I wasn't trying to. I was just thinking, you know, I'm really not going to get this, so I might as well be wildly inappropriate in the most inappropriate way. And so I thought, I'm just going to be myself, because that's really myself. And she seemed sort of excited when I left, and I said, well, listen, I don't really live here. I'm on my way back to our farm in Indiana, so what happens? She's like, oh, well, we're going to call you. And I thought, okay, that's the kiss off. And then I'm driving, and I'm getting on the expressway, and I get this phone call, and they said, hi, we'd like you to come back and do a dish and do this, 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 and all the requirements that are needed. And I thought, oh, my God, I have to go and cook. So I went, and I cooked at a friend's house, and they said to bring a dish that represents who you really are. And I brought my braised beef chuck with carrot ribbons with that were scented with some cinnamon on top of a bed of potatoes and parsnips.
Mm-hmm.
And so I brought it in, and they said, you know, by the way, you also need to prepare a 3-minute little, like, demonstration of, like, a cooking, something that, like, you want to teach somebody. So I thought, I'm going to show people how to cut an onion because, I don't know, I just thought that was good. So when I got there, they said, well, what are you going to do, Alexis, you know, and they were all excited.
Yep.
And I said, well, I'm going to show everybody how to cut an onion. And they both said at the same time, oh, you're, like, with a very disagreeable face, you're going to show us how to cut an onion? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to share, because I think anybody that comes over to my house, they're always very interested in how I cut things and how I cut an onion, how I cut it fast. And I think everybody should know how to cut an onion because, you know, a lot of the cutting stuff takes a long time, so I'm going to show them how to do it.
Yep.
And so I did it, and they were laughing. And part of it is on the Food Network site. I kind of acted like I was at a party cutting an onion, and they loved it. And I went through this huge, long 3-hour interview with the two girls that were the producers.
And voila.
I waited, and I was told I got on, and I was literally surprised.
So today, having gone through that experience, how does it make you feel now after all that stuff to kind of go through and realize that you made it that far and made an impression and got on an international stage?
Well, it made me feel good about myself, and I realized that it's okay for me to be who I am, my whole self, with blemishes and all, because when I was there, I thought, I need to really be myself and be who I am. I'm not going to sit there and go, hi, I have ADD, and I may not be able to pay attention to you, and I might, in my mind, be struggling, but I was myself. Right.
I'm gonna wow you with cutting an onion.
Right. Something so simple and ridiculous that even the person with the worst ADD can pay attention to, because I'm just gonna cut an onion.
We have a little bit of time. I got like 30 seconds left, but before we kind of go out, for those out there with ADD, do you have any words of wisdom or inspiration before we wrap things up?
I would say number one, if you can find what you love and actually make it financially a viable vehicle for you, then do what you love to do. I don't care if it's gardening or, you know, quilting or whatever it is. Number two, find out ways to, within yourself, in the times when you are very focused, try to kind of figure out why you're focused and kind of apply that to areas where you're not focusing,
mm-hmm.
and try to talk yourself through it and say, okay, I'm really not interested, but I need to be interested. And you will have to have that conversation in your mind. For me, in my personal experience, for the rest of my life, I have to constantly say, okay, Jeff is talking. I really know the answer in my mind, you know, and so, but I have to be cordial. And I'm going to do behaviors that show like I'm interested because that makes me successful.
It's interesting because so much of what you're saying is you're paying attention to what your thoughts are kind of going on, as we say sometimes in coaching, you're paying attention to what you're paying attention to, and then you're able to manage it as it's kind of going on, as opposed to just kind of like going off and just being in the moment. And through that management, you've certainly been very successful.
Yes, exactly. Exactly what you said. Being, you know, we all have that inner speaker that's speaking to us. And so listen to it. When you are listening to the person and you're like, I really want to break into what the person's saying,
Yep.
I need to, as long as you're talking yourself through it, that makes you much more powerful and much more powerful.
Absolutely. Well, hey, Alexis, we're coming up to the end. I'd like to thank you for coming on to the show. You did a great job. I appreciate it. Everybody, catch us next week for another edition of Attention to Talk Radio. Take care, everyone.